You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Romans 3:29-31. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we established the law. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Birds and birds and birds. We're seeing lots of birds these days. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 feeders now. And I got to watch that because I like to keep them fed, you know. So I'm going out to the garage and getting my scoop of seed quite often. And especially when it's getting cold, we start to feel sorry for the birds. So we're getting to see all kinds of birds coming in. And so I said to Seppi, we're going to get a book so we can start to identify some of these birds. I went to the website and found all sorts of scientists involved with study of birds in America. And man, North American birds, there are just a beautiful selection of birds in North America. And they are gorgeous, many of them. Colorful ones, some weird shaped ones too. And there's some live cams that they've placed in different parts around America where you can actually look in and see live what these birds are doing. And all kinds of hawks and eagles and all sorts of birds. So it's an interesting study. And so we're interested in knowing how to attract certain species. We've got them all there. The only trouble is we've got a lot of these starlings and blackbirds who are also interested in the food. And I'm sure they're hungry, they deserve some food, but the trouble is they're very aggressive, those things. Whereas the nice birds we want to attract, they're kind of a little bit timid. And they get pushed away by these birds. Anyway, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to open the Scriptures. Once again, Lord. And we thank Thee that our salvation is secure in Christ, that as He said on the cross, it is finished. We thank Thee for that completed work. And in His name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, wonderful stuff we've been getting into in the book of Acts. And the whole idea of this study really is to establish this wonderful connection between Paul's early epistles and the book of Acts. And the more you come to appreciate it, the better the Bible makes sense to you. So some of the things I want to look at today will be to establish further this notion of the early epistles and the book of Acts and its connection. And, of course, this relates to when the epistles were written. And we have established quite a few things already concerning when the epistles were written. And so what I want you to do is follow a few things through with me. We'll come to this about Festus and Agrippa soon. Last time we studied this, we were looking at this idea of the expression, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is mentioned throughout the book of Acts. And you find 7 occurrences. And then if you look at the next one chronologically, that pops up here in Colossians 4:11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Very personal note there. And notice how that these are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. Now, what a lot of people do is they'll take this expression, the kingdom of God, as Paul mentions it in Colossians 4:11, and then want to import that into what you find in Acts 28. What I'm trying to show you is that's completely an artificial thing to do. It's an artificial thing to do, to try and take that expression, which has a context in Colossians, written by Paul the prisoner, when we understand that the expression, the kingdom of God, has a very special context in Acts 28, which relates to the Old Testament scriptures. And so we're not going to do that unless we've got good justification to do that. And so look at the expression also, preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching the kingdom of God. Notice in Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And you might say, well, where else is this expression? Kerousson tein basilion to theou. That means preaching the kingdom of God. Where do you find that also? Well, just back up to Acts 20:35. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, there's the expression, the same one, shall see my face no more. Well, that has a historical context. Preaching the kingdom of God has a context in the book of Acts, which relates to promises given to Israel. Very interesting things to look at and consider. And the other thing here is, if you look at Ephesians 4, where it talks about the body of whom Christ is head, and the ministry that was then going on in relationship to it, it says this in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Well, I can understand this quite well. You know, evangelists. Yeah. People who give the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And some pastors. Yeah. I understand pastoral work. Pastoral work is something that would just continue. And teachers. Oh, absolutely, I understand teachers. But look at the next line. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. That's this katatismon, which means an adjustment. For the adjustment of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of the fullness of Christ. Notice that the way this began included, he gave some, these are some of the gifts that were given, apostles and some prophets. Apostles and some prophets. That's the way it began. It began that way. That is, when the revelation of the mystery was given to Paul the prisoner, at that time there were people called apostles, some, and some prophets. Now, evangelists, we understand they're going to exist today. There's no reason for us to suppose they don't exist today. And pastors and teachers, yeah, we understand that construction, that would occur today and people would be involved with this. But I don't think we're going to be too happy about accepting the idea that there are apostles today and prophets today. Right? What am I saying? What is the point of what I'm saying? Well, what I'm saying is that in the beginning, when the mystery was revealed, there were gifts given to the church. And they included these. And these type people had a history which included being given gifts. They had gifts. They had wonderful gifts. And that these gifts were used along with people who were pastors and teachers. Those were given for what reason? For the perfecting of the saint, for the adjustment of the saint. What do you mean adjustment? Do you need adjustment? Well, in one sense you do, if you have a background, right, where you were told that you were given a certain hope based upon the gospel, certain hope based upon what was preached out of the book of Acts. In one general sense, you need to be adjusted to the new revelation given to Paul the prisoner. So in a general sense, everyone needs to be adjusted. But in this particular sense, there were people who were members of a body of Christ who needed to be adjusted. They had this knowledge and a hope which was related to the hope of Israel, which continued through the book of Acts. And what the apostles and the prophets, as well as these other groups, were given the special job of adjustment. Now, I've probably told you this before. When I was young, I was crazy, stupid, and did crazy things. Here is a picture. This is a cliff. Big cliff. How high? I'm guessing, you know, from my memory, maybe about 40 feet to the base here, where there's a whole lot of scree, boulders, and other rocks and things that fell down from the cliff as it would weather. This is at a beach. So down here is the beach, and there were rocks, like so. And up the top here, oh yeah, man, there was a tree hanging out over the cliff. And young Wayne was there, and a gorilla. We were playing a game that you guys also play in America. We call it Storm the Heights. It's all about getting you're broken into two teams, and each team would be given life bands, and you'd have flag each. And the idea was to grab the opponent's team's flag. All right? So in the process of doing that, they try to put their finger under here and break your life, and once they've broken your life, you're out of the game. All right? So anyway, there's a big guy here, and he had one color on his wrist, and I had a different color on my wrist, and I said, oh, you're too crazy to follow me out here. Only a crazy person would go out here. So that's why I did it. So I went out across this thing here, and I put my foot on a branch, and it broke because it was rotten, and dink, dink, dink. Now, of course, the final dink could have been my last dink. But as it happened, it was a beach, so there was sand, but as I said, there's boulders here. And I landed in between these boulders, you know. And there were people down below there, and they watched the whole scenario happen, you know. And they all came running over and thought I was dead, you know, which probably I should have been dead from what happened. And anyway, so I got up. I managed to get up and move my arm around and broken my collarbone. So that's how I broke my left-hand collarbone here, and so I had to be in a figure eight for ages, for a couple of months. You know, a figure eight banded across your shoulders is like, you had to walk around like this all the time, you know, like some sort of duck. Anyway, how did I get into that? I don't know. Anyway, so that's the thing that happened to me, and it would have been good if I could maybe have some knowledge about what would happen or could happen, or, you know, and then I could have avoided this. But there was a certain hope that was here for the hope of Israel. And these people, they had signs and they had wonders and all sorts of miraculous things, like healings and things like that, were going on. No doubt there could have been someone just lay hands on a person that had a broken collarbone and they could just be healed. However, what happens is that Paul, at some stage, was given a fresh revelation, the revelation of the mystery, which was hid from ages. And what happened was that there were believers, okay? So these believers who were believers in the hope of Israel, they needed an adjustment. And that's what I'm coming to here, of course. I needed an adjustment, not just my collarbone, but my spine, right? Because immediately after this, every morning I woke up with a terrible migraine. Oh, migraine. And I'd moan about it to my mum, and she says, "Ah, look, I know what's wrong with you. You need to go to a chiropractor." In those days, a chiropractor was a quack. You know, really, they were on the side. Not so anymore. But at that time, they were. They were a bit weird, you know. But my mum believed in these people, and she was right too, because she took me there. Man, this guy just went down my spine. Click. 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 No more migraines. Nothing. Absolutely no problem at all. And I was just thinking about that. That's an adjustment, right? And these people here who believed in the hope of Israel, and they had a hope associated with Israel, coming out of the book of Acts, coming out of that belief, they needed to be adjusted. And in amongst these people who had the job of adjusting were the apostles and some prophets. And these people, they, if they would stir up the gift that was given to them, could in fact help them along the way. And if they had any doubts about, you know, their authority, they could show them the power of God. And it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. And we mentioned about this before, such passages as this one, 2 Timothy 1:6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." There was a miraculous gift that was given to Timothy, and he could, if he would, will it, stir it up. It was given to him. It was up to him. Stir it up. There was a stirrable gift that was still available then, and they would use it. For what purpose? For the click, click, click. That felt better. And they began to understand more concerning this revelation given to Paul the prisoner. Now I want to show you something which I think is very pertinent to what happened in the book of Acts. This is really fascinating to me. It is absolutely fascinating. Have a look at Acts 19, and we'll just quickly look at this. And you can go through this again. Please do it. This is Acts 19, 1 through 8. And when you get a moment by yourself, go through this very carefully. And it came to pass, verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth. Now, we're going to be looking at 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Okay, neat. Why neat? Well, because of Ephesians. Right? Ephesians. You say, what are you talking about, this business about prophets and apostles and stuff? Yeah, okay, well, that comes directly out of the book of Ephesians. This was a letter written to the Ephesians. But the Ephesians had a history. Here we're getting a view into the book of Acts. We're getting to see what happened during the book of Acts. And then we can compare that with what will happen a little bit later on. Okay, so we've got, "And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" This is really remarkable, isn't it? Now notice it says, "since ye believed." These were believers. "Since ye believed." They believed, right? "And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Isn't that remarkable? You have people who were in a state of belief, and they had not even heard that there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Now look what happens. "And he said unto them, under what then were ye baptized?" Oh man, now we get into it, right? We're getting to some very interesting doctrines for which many people today hold on to. They hold on to these doctrines. concerning baptism. And they said, under John's baptism. Uh-oh. So now we can see that there's different baptisms. There's not just one baptism in the Bible, my friends. You've got to understand there are different baptisms. There's this baptism, which was John's. And then said Paul, John, verily, truly, baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Okay, this is the baptism of repentance. Now, it's not, he didn't say, oh, that was a baptism of water. No, he didn't say that. This was a baptism of repentance. The subject of the medium is not there in that statement. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now you notice that in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized. Is there a change in the medium in that verse? Was there a change in the medium? In other words, were they no longer baptized in water? I mean, John's baptism had to do with water. It was a baptism of repentance, yes, but it was a baptism where people were placed in water. There's no contextual evidence that there's a change in the medium. What happened here? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Second baptism. They took a baptism to John, and then they took another baptism. And wait a minute. Well, let's see. Well, let's see. Where were we at? Chapter 19 in the book of Acts. Chapter 19. And what's happening here is a rebaptism in water. You see the point that I'm coming to. What I'm coming to is this, that the doctrinal context of the book of Acts is where there is movements within the kingdom of God of further revelation concerning the kingdom of God, but still a medium of baptism in water. Still there. And Paul is involved with it. That's really cool. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, here comes the laying on of hands. What happens when Paul lays his hands on them? The Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. Man, oh man, here we come. Languages. And they could prophesy. When Paul laid his hands on them, this is what happens. What did Paul say to Timothy? Stir up the gift that was given to thee by the laying on of my hands. Right? Then he goes on, verse 7. And all the men were about 12. Oh, man. And 12 is quite an interesting number, don't you think? 12. 12 tribes of Israel. We're definitely getting pictures related to Israel. Israel is right in the middle of all of this. It's all about Israel, my friends. It's all about what happens to Gentiles and other believers in relationship to promises given to Israel. And it goes on and it says this, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's the context of the kingdom of God as it is in the book of Acts. And it goes right to Acts 28:31. Now, I put these little arrows in here because they're great little pointers. Came to Ephesus. Unto what were you baptized? A rebaptism. Laid hands on them. Tongues. They prophesied. Where was this? Synagogue. What was it about? The kingdom of God. Very, very strong passage, my friends. Very strong. Now, put this context on here. People who had formerly a particular hope related to all of these things, they saw Paul lay his hands on these people, these believers, these disciples, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Now, Paul says, well, actually, I've got something new to tell you, which has nothing to do with the nation of Israel. It was hid in God. And I'm going to give you this message. What's he going to do? Well, he's going to readjust them. He's going to readjust them, and he'll have the signs of an apostle. There are prophets, and he will encourage them along the way with those signs and wonders and show, yes, this is the truth of God. Okay, carrying on. And I'm giving you this little comparison here, which is Acts 19:5-8, the ones that we just read. And then this comes from 2 Timothy. And notice where 2 Timothy is. 2 Timothy 1:5-8. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Wait a minute. The faith is already there. Well, then this is something different, isn't it? This is something added. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God. Don't tell me this is the faith. The faith is already established. That was already there. What he has to do is he has to stir something up. Over here, you get the laying on of hands and things happen, man. Over here, it's looking back to something that happened in the past, and it must be stirred up. And this word stir up means rekindle. Rekindle. Literally, rekindle it. To rekindle a fire means that the fire was already there in the past. It's going to be relit. Have you done that with embers? When you're perhaps camping, you're camping, you have a fire. The fire, you get tired, you start to sleep. And of course the fire, as time goes by, diminishes. And what you want to do is in about 3 o'clock in the morning, it's your responsibility to keep the fire going. So you've got to get up and, oh no, it's just about out. Okay, then you've got to try and rekindle and blow up, put some embers on there and more sticks and finally get it going again. Rekindle it. Rekindling is work. That's the work that Timothy was given to do. Well, that was interesting. Oh, yeah, that doesn't come out too clear, doesn't it? But you can see this word here has the word pur, which is fire. Fire. Pyrotechnics. Pyrotechnics, a word that we have today. Who is a person who works with pyrotechnics? Well, it's a person who makes fireworks. Huh? Fireworks. Okay? And you can see in here Anna, and you can see Zoa, or Zo, which comes from life. So it means to burn again to life. You know, rekindle. Rekindle it. Okay, really good. Really good stuff. And of course, this is not strange to Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Well, there's another set of gifts that was given to Timothy by the presbytery. So this is all cool stuff. Now, I'm going to move on because the whole idea of the inclusion of the Gentile is not a mystery. I want you to go back now to Acts 15. Look at this. This is very cool. In Acts 15, you get James talking about some things. When Peter was told to go off to Cornelius, he didn't want to do it. Why? Because he had a prejudice. There was a prejudice he had that not to go to the Gentile. This is something that he had. And here we can think about this. You can be indoctrinated, right? You can spend your whole life thinking a certain way and holding to it, but it's not actually from the scriptures. And you can be a person who is absolutely indoctrinated, reading the Old Testament scriptures, and you can be wrong on something. And this is the same with Peter. And look what it says here in Acts 15. We'll read a little bit back up here. Let's see, we're in Acts 15 and verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." And of course, this is what happened, but you remember, you know, Peter had to be really coerced. Right? He only did it because he's severely coerced to do it. "And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written." Now notice the language that is used here. "And to this agree." And that's interesting that James would use this word agree, because here it is. Symphonousen. You can see the word symphony. Symphonousen. You could even translate this, "and to this agree," to this harmonize, right? "And to this harmonize the words of the prophets, as it is written." You see? Verse 16, "After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down." Okay? This comes from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. "And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." Why am I majoring on this? Because the inclusion of the Gentiles agrees, it harmonizes, according to James, with what the prophet said. Now, if you go back to Amos, you see that it has a more exact fulfillment in the future. But this harmonizes with the truth that the Gentiles would be included. And it's very cool. Here's another one. Look at Romans 3. Let me just show you now this passage in Romans. We'll finish here. This is in Romans in chapter 3, verse 26, we'll read from. "To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now look at verse 29. "Is he the God of the Jews only?" Now I want you to see the perspective of Paul here. Is he the God of the Jews only? Because that is the absolute obvious truth, that he is the God of the Jews. You see this? See the perspective that Paul is coming from is simply that it's obvious that he's the God of the Jews. Now today, it's all topsy-turvy, right? The way people want to read the scriptures today in many churches is this assumption. Is he the God of the Gentiles only? The perspective for many people is, oh, well, God is, you know, in the past and through the book of Acts, etc. God has always just dealt with the Gentiles. No, the context of the book of Acts is that God was dealing with the Jews, and Paul had to persuade these people, hey, no, he's not the God of the Jews only. Look what he says. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Now look at the response. Yes, nay, kai ethnon. The nations also. The nations also. Seeing it's the one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And what Paul then is doing is he's establishing this truth that yes, salvation is going to all men, including the Gentile, because it's by faith. That's what he's always designed. That's what it's about. Okay, so this truth then is established in the book of Acts. You find this right through the book of Acts, and you'll find it in the epistles written during this time. Now next time we'll take this a little bit further, and we'll even get to Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. Next time we'll get there. Okay, guys, well, it's been fun, it's been enjoyable. It's been a rock and roll. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for the book that has so many truths in it, so many aspects, so many perspectives. Lord, we ask we'd always see it from the divine, that we'd see Thy will in all these things. And Lord, we pray for the country, that You would guide it and lead it, for the leaders, Lord, would come back to the Scriptures. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.